Well, we're John with Clinton. We're happy to be here. Happy that you're able to be out. And I'm happy to be here, even though it's kind of snowy and like the snow's about over. But anyway, there'll be some slick spots, so just be careful on the way out. Our study tonight has to deal with judging. A lot of folks, they've kind of missed what the Bible actually teaches about judging. They think, well, we ought not to be judging in any way, in any kind of form or fashion, and yet the Bible does commend to us judging. And what we're going to find is that there's a right kind and there's a wrong kind. And I'd like to begin by talking about what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, when he said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The idea of rightly dividing the word of truth, that is so important on many topics. A lot of folks are not rightly divided. And may we illustrate the principle by this way. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So folks read and they say, okay, well, we're not saved by works, because that's what the text says. And it does say that. We're not saved by works. But then we come over to James chapter 2. In James chapter 2 there, in verses 21 through 24, James had this to say. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." So James says that we are justified by works, or saved by works. But yet Paul said we're not saved by works. So people have to wrestle with that, and we have to rightly divide and make truth come in harmony. Now, Paul says, well, we're not justified by works or saved by works. And James says we are justified by works or saved by works, because being justified or being saved is one and the same process. So the question is, how do we rectify the two texts? One says we are, one says we're not. So some people say, well, maybe James is talking about being justified before men. Maybe that, you know, Paul, he was talking about we're not justified by works, we're saved by works, that is, in God's sight. And James, he's simply talking about being justified before men. And that's how you would harmonize. Well, the only problem with that is what Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 8 and in verse 33. There in Romans chapter 8 and verse 33, Paul says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies." So God justifies. So we can't say, well, now James, he's simply talking about being justified before men, because Paul says, no, God's the one that justifies. Then the quagmire would come up in James chapter 2. If you say, well, James, he just merely talking about being justified before men, but he gives Abraham as an example when he offered up Isaac as a sacrifice. But when Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice, was going to offer him up as a sacrifice there in Genesis chapter 22, well, what men saw Abraham doing that? Well, there was nobody there. It was just Abraham and Isaac. So there was no men to see. So Abraham wasn't trying to be justified inside of men, because men wasn't even looking at what he was doing. So you can't take that position. Well, like Martin Luther, what he come up with in trying to rectify the quagmire, where James says, well, Paul says you're not justified by works, James says you are justified by works, well, maybe James is not an inspired writer. The book of James, maybe it's just a straw book, and really ought not to be in the canon of Scripture. So that's how he reconciled the problem with the book of James and his thinking on the matter. Of course, that's not a scriptural solution, to throw out a book of the Bible because it doesn't happen to agree with your theology. That's kind of crazy. Well, the solution is to understand that there are two different kinds of works being talked about. You see, Paul's talking about works whereby we can boast, and there's no set of works that we could do, and therefore we would merit salvation, and if we could merit and earn our salvation, then we could sort of brag about it.
we can sort of kind of gloat about a little bit. James, excuse me, Paul says, no, there's not any kind of works like that. And James, he's not talking about those kinds of works. He's talking about a different kind of work. That is, he's talking about the works of obedience. And they are essential to our salvation.
So in rightly dividing or handling it right or handling accurately, other translation says,
it just illustrates we've got to be careful. And so it is on the topic of judging, because people look at verses and text about judging, and that's what we're going to do first off, and just kind of read through the text. First off, we'll talk about the wrong kind of judging that's spoken against, and how people misconstrue that to think that somehow we're not to judge any at all in any way.
There in Matthew chapter 7, judge not that you be not judged. See, right there. See, we're not supposed to judge, because that's what Jesus said. Judge not. The only problem with people taking that position when Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged, is like they contradict their own rule. Maybe you're talking about some religious topic and you're speaking out against some religious error. Don't you know the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged? They've just violated their own rule. They said, well, we're not supposed to be judging, but I'm judging you for judging. I mean, isn't that crazy?
It's like saying, well, there's no absolutes. There's no absolute rules in the universe. But the absolute rule that there's no absolute rules. I mean, it's self-contradictory. It's crazy.
So the argument is, well, judge not that you be not judged. Well, see, we're not supposed to judge. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why do you behold the mote or the speck of dust that is in your brother's eye, but do not consider the beam or the log that is in your own eye? Or how would thou say to your brother, let me pull out the speck of dust or the mote out of your eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam that is in thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy to dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. And then in the book of Luke chapter 6, a similar language there in Luke chapter 6. Notice there in verses 36 through 39. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not. Ye shall not be judged. See, right there. See? Again, Jesus tells us we're not supposed to judge, is the argument. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom, for with what the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. And then, continuing on, in the book of Romans chapter 2, here's another verse, that passage and text that people use to say, well, you know, we shouldn't be judging. Yeah, but the Bible does talk about there's some wrong kinds of judgment. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. And folks want to stop right there. See? That's just inexcusable if you're a person that's going about judging other folks. Well, that's not where the verse ends. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same thing. There's the problem. Is be condemning somebody, and you turn around and do the very same exact thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them that commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them, which do such things, and doest the same, that thou wilt escape the judgment of God? Or despise thou the riches of his goodness, and the forbearance, and longsuffering, and not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up to thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And then in John chapter 7, it also talks about wrong kinds of judgment. There in John 7 verse 24, he says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now all these verses do talk about there's a certain
kinds of judgment that are wrong and ought not to be. But we ought not to look at these verses and just sort of make a blanket statement and say, well, we're not supposed to be judging. Judge not that you be not judged, and therefore we speak out against all types of judging. We've not rightly divided, because as we continue on in the Scriptures, there is a right kind of judgment. Look at that text once again. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Jesus says, judge righteous judgment. There's a judging according to the appearance. Don't need to be doing that kind of judging. But judge a righteous judgment. So there is a right kind of judgment that is to take place. There in Luke chapter 12, notice there, picking up in verse 54. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat. And it comes to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Or why don't you judge what's right? Well, because we ought to be judging what's right. Because there is judgment that we have to make in the world that we live in. And then back up to Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, notice there in verse 40. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto you. And he says, Master, say on. And Jesus gives this little story. He says, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said, well, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said, see, now you're judging, and you're not supposed to be judging, because I said, judge not, and here you are judging. No, that's not what the text says. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Well, you made a good judgment about the matter. You looked at the circumstances and situation of what I described, and yeah, you made the right judgment. You made the correct judgment in this matter. And then notice over there in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, John says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. And the idea of trying the spirits is going to be involved of judging the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets are going out in the world. You see, we're going to have to make some sort of judgment to determine whether a person is a false prophet or not. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, he is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already he is in the world. You are of God, little children, and you overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore spake they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So what we're going to see as we develop thoughts of the right kind of judgment, the wrong kind of judgment, there are two kinds. And that's all part of rightly dividing the word of truth to know the difference between the two. All right, let's talk about judging. The wrong kind. Jesus does speak against certain kinds of judgment, says that you ought not to do that. Alright, first off, judging on the appearance of things. There in the book of John chapter 7, judge not according to appearance. We just can't look at a situation without getting all the facts and think that we can make a correct judgment. Just on the appearance of things. Sometimes things may appear one way. It might be that way, but it might not be that way. And it's not fair to merely judge on the appearance of things. It's like, for instance, you bag up your garbage and somebody along the road has been throwing beer bottles and you've collected them up because you want your property line to look good. You throw them in your bag.
And then you set your bag of garbage down. If you don't have one of them canisters for the garbage man to pick up, but the dog happens to get in there, and there's that bag open, and the beer bottles fall out. And somebody drives by and says, "Whoa, look at there, old Clinton. He's been drinking booze. I've seen all them beer bottles out there out of his bag of garbage." Well, now, it may appear that way. That's the appearance. But is that fair?
But it's not fair.
They're going on the appearance of things. Here's a man, and he's talking with this other lady, and there must be something going on there that doesn't look right. Well, maybe they're talking about some serious issue, and you just can't merely go on the appearance of things. And that's not fair. That's the kind of judgment that's not right, based upon just mere appearance. Because if there's another explanation, we ought not to jump to conclusions about the matter. And something else, that we cannot make judgment based upon false standards. Maybe we get the facts, but if we've got false standards, well, that's not fair either. For instance, there in the book of Matthew, chapter 15. In Matthew, the 15th chapter there, notice beginning in verse 1. "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Dead to right, the disciples of Jesus weren't washing their hands, were not washing their hands. They were guilty of that. Not washing their hands, definitely. Well, that's the problem. But it's a judgment not based upon the Word of God. It's a judgment based upon the tradition of men. So Jesus says in answer, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Well, somebody may not be holding up to the standard of some human wisdom, some human law, some human rule, and maybe guilty of violating a human rule, but that doesn't mean that you sin because you violate a human rule. That doesn't mean because the elder said, "Well, you're supposed to wash your hands before you eat, and you didn't wash your hands before you eat, therefore you commit sin." No, sin is a violation of God's standard, not man's standard of what he thinks to be right and wrong. Or you look there in Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter 14, you've got a couple of illustrations that are talked about there, and matters and issues of personal conscience is what Paul is dealing with. He says, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations," or that is to judge his convictions or opinions, or other translation says, "For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth not despise him that eateth." Excuse me. "Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him." All right. Suppose you have in your mind that somehow eating pork, that really, you were from a Jewish background and under Old Testament law, it was ceremonially unclean to eat pork, and now you've become a Christian, but you still kind of think that's not right to eat pork, and so you go to the potluck, and there you see, there's Steve, there he is, he's eating them little pork sausages. He's eating ham, or boy, he's going to bust hell wide open for eating that old pork splits. Well, now, that's not just appearing that he's eating the little sausages, the little smokies, and the ham. And in fact, he was eating. We're not going on appearance. We know for a fact that he was eating ham. Well, now, what's the problem in this judgment? We've got a false standard. That's a human rule. We don't have the rule of God today that says you can't eat pork. Now, if I want to live by the rule, don't eat pork, well, that's hunky-dory. No problem about that if that's what you want to live by. If you want to make that your rule, no eating of pork, no problem. If you want to be a vegetarian, no problem. But if somebody else wants to eat pork and eat the country ham or eat the little smokies or whatever that's made with pork products, there's no
Don't raise your personal standard and make that the law of God. Because when we begin judging about those kinds of matters, that's a wrong kind of judgment. And then as you look at Matthew chapter 7, we're talking about hypocritical judgments. Don't need to make those kind of judgments. You know, here's a fella, he's looking at somebody that's, you know, over there's an alcoholic. You know, well, you know, fellow, not to be y'all bombed out drunk, but over I'm over here drinking a few. Well, 1 Peter chapter 4 says that the alcoholic, the one that's involved in excess of wine, or the fellow that's just half loop, or the fellow that's drinking, it's all part of the will of the Gentiles, not doing the will of God. So if I'm here just drinking a few as a social drinker, and I'm out here condemning the drunk over here, well, I'm condemning myself. That's hypocritical judgment. You say, oh, brother, you got a speck of dust in your eye. Well, who wants a speck of dust in their eye? Well, not me. I've had plenty of specks of dust in my eye. You know, if you do carpentry work and you're taking the saw and buzzing and the wind blowing, if you're outside and a speck of dust is hitting your eye, it's uncomfortable. But let me tell you something. When I got a speck of dust in my eye, I want somebody with a big 2x4 sticking out of their eye and say, hey, let me help you get that speck of dust out of your eye. I was like, whoa, wait a minute here. You got a big log sticking out of your eye. That's hypocritical. To be hypocritical or hypercritical. That kind of judging is wrong. It ought not to be. Work on yourself, Jesus says first. Then you'll be able to go over there and see clearly to help your brother get a speck of dust out of his eye. But don't be hypocritical in making judgments. If we are doing the very same thing and doing wrong, no, don't go over there and be involved in trying to help somebody get a speck of dust out of their eye. And then, when you have bad motives.
Over in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 would be an illustration of what we're talking about. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof come envy, strife, railing, evil surmising, or evil suspicions. You're looking at a situation, and you put an evil inclination on it. Evil surmising. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when Paul is talking about love, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he talks about various qualities about love. Notice there, verse 5, that love does not behave itself unseemly, it seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. And then in verse 7, he says that love bears all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And the point is about believing all things is that you want to put the best light on it, put the best spin on it. That's what love would say. Not jump to the conclusion and put an evil spin on it. An evil surmising is that you look at any given circumstance and we're going to make it look bad because really that's kind of what we want. We've got bad feelings and bad attitude, and we look at a given circumstance and say, and we make it look bad. We put a bad spin on it. Love will say, no, we're going to give people the benefit of the doubt, and we're going to say, you know, it's good, unless circumstances says, no, that wasn't good. That's the person that does the right kind of judgment. But when you involve an evil surmising and say, well, it just seems to be, and we put some evil twist on it, don't need to be doing that kind of judging. That all those kinds of judgment are wrong. It ought not to be. That's the kind of judgment Jesus is saying, don't do. Don't look at when Jesus talks about certain judgments not to make and think, well, then we can't make any judgments at all, because that's not going to square with the Word of God. Because just as there's some judging that is the wrong kind, there is also in the Scriptures judging that is the right kind that we are commanded and exhorted and we must do as we go through life. First off, we need to get the facts. We need to have the true facts of the situation. As Jesus said, don't judge according to appearance. Be sure you get the facts before you jump to the conclusion. Before you make any kind of conclusion, before you draw the conclusion, get the facts of what has really taken place. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says in verse 15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves." He says, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" Well, no. "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but every corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and is cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Well, now, when it comes to false teachers, we just can't say, "Well, I just don't like the way he looks. I think he's a false teacher." You can't do that. You're going to have to look at the fruits. Get the facts. Let's hear what the man has to say. And be sure we've got the facts. Well, am I getting this clear? Is that what you said? Is this what you're teaching? And to be clear about the matter, get the facts of any given situation. Just like seeing the beer bottles laying around Clinton's garbage bag. Well, let's get the facts. And if it bothers us and we just can't seem to give him the benefit of the doubt without just dismissing it, thinking, "Well, I'm just persuaded he must have picked them up and put a good spin on it," we'll just go and ask him, "Well, Clint, why in the world were the beer bottles laying all around that garbage bag?" And you'll get an easy explanation. "Well, I picked them up all down the road there. Somebody just threw a whole six-pack out there and strewed them all over the yard there. I just picked them up, and some dog tore the bag open." Okay, guess you saw. So let's get the facts of the situation. Involving in a righteous judgment, we need to get the facts. Number two, we need to base any kind of judgment of facts based upon, well, what's God's standard say about this matter? Not my personal standard, not my personal conviction, my personal opinion about any given situation. Well, what does the standard of God's Word say concerning right and wrong on a given issue? Because that, in fact, is what we're going to be judged by in the final analysis. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." And that's what John says when he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God." Well, how do we try, test, or judge the spirits whether they're of God? Well, verse 6. "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." The spirit of truth is based upon the spirit-inspired word of the apostle. You can judge what's right based upon God's standard. Not the standard of some council. Not the standard of human tradition. Not the standard of popularity, etc. No, what's God's word? God, that's the standard. Does the Bible say this is right or wrong? We're looking at the facts. We're looking at God's Word. You see whether this is right or wrong based upon the facts presented. And number three, we need to be fair and have love in our hearts. And that's what Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged." We better have fairness and love in our hearts. As James said in James chapter 2 there, and in verse 13, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy." If we are unmerciful in our attitude, if we are without love, well, kind of what goes around comes around. We better be careful. It has a way of coming back upon us. But if we're trying to be fair and be loving and believe all things, give folks the benefit of the doubt, and we have love and always want to think the best of folks, and we're looking at God's standard and getting the facts, yes, we can do what Jesus says in John 7 and in verse 24, judge a righteous judgment. Yes, that kind of judgment we are commanded to do. We have to do. And we will do. And folks do it all the time. Is that the problem is, with some folks, they're a little bit confused and have been mistaken in not rightly dividing and studying the issue out, because
I think the folks that says, well, you know, judge not that you be not judged, I think they probably have a good intention, thinking that, well, we're not really supposed to judge, and so they're kind of judging us. Some do it maybe in a general way, but they're mistaken because they're violating their own rule. So let's have love, let's have fairness, let's get the facts of the situation and look at the standard of God's Word, not my personal opinion, my personal conviction and judgment about the matter, but God's standard, and then we can do what Jesus says, make a righteous judgment. Well, we extend the invitation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God has a plan to save. And there are five distinct steps in becoming a Christian. They're outlined in the Word of God: to hear the gospel, to believe in Jesus Christ, to repent, confessing faith, and being baptized into Jesus. When we obey these steps, this is how we become a Christian. We come up out of that watery grave, grow, and be faithful. We are exhorted. And if we do err, we've got the second law of pardon mentioned in Acts 8 and verse 22. Well, we're going to sing this song of encouragement. And perchance you need to respond to heaven's invitation. We always like to extend it because you never know when somebody needs to respond. And we'd be glad to help and assist in any way if you'll express your desires while together as we stand and as we sing.